Matthew's Gospel and chapter 5. These last few weeks we've been reflecting on the Beatitudes, the blessings of Jesus. So this reading you'll find on page 968 if you're following in the church Bibles. Matthew chapter 5, I'm going to read all 12 verses of what we know as the Beatitudes, the blessings of Jesus. Now, when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him and he began to teach them. He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way, they persecuted the prophets who were before you." We pray that the words that we have read may become for us the word of life within us. So this series I have called, this will work. There we go. Upside down, the blessings of Jesus. Upside down, the blessings of Jesus. And that's what the Beatitudes are. They are the blessings of Jesus, but they are, in our way of looking at it, the way we are trained and nurtured within our culture, they are the upside down blessings. They don't work or fit in the way that we have been educated and trained and brought up to understand how blessings work. And this week, as I was reflecting and reading and praying over this, I was reminded that if the Beatitudes, understood hopefully rightly, if they don't make us feel uncomfortable, then we're not reading them right. The point of the Beatitudes is to upend the way we've been trained to think. Because the Beatitudes, these blessings, are all about Jesus and the kingdom of God and justice. And what Jesus is doing in Matthew, as we have it recorded in Matthew chapter 5, and then Matthew chapter 5 and 6 and 7, what we have is the Sermon on the Mount, because we're told Jesus went up on a mountainside and he began to teach, so he went up, the Sermon on the Mount. What he's doing, what Jesus is doing, he's giving sayings to the people, he's telling stories, he's giving examples. What he's trying to do is say, these are the values of the kingdom of God. This is what the kingdom of God looks like. This is what it feels like. This is what it smells like. This is what it is to live in the kingdom of God. Imagining that God truly is king, not just of your life, but king over the whole community where you live. And then perhaps over the nation where you live, where people gather together, declaring and committed to the Lordship of Jesus. This is what the kingdom of God feels like. And these Beatitudes and the Sermon on the Mount, they're all about Jesus saying, what really matters? What really is important? Who really is significant? And who has status in God's eyes? Who has status? And so what Jesus is doing is turning things upside down. Now, this next slide I've put up each week, and it's worth reminding ourselves of this idea of blessing. This idea of a beatitude wasn't something new that Jesus invented. And everybody was shocked at the novelty of what he was speaking about, this blessing of people. Because the idea of being blessed was very familiar in the ancient world. And they had a particular perspective, and the writers in ancient Greece and ancient Rome, they wrote about who was blessed and who was not blessed. And so they would have, these are the people, these kind of people are blessed, and all these others, well, they're clearly cursed because they're not blessed. And so they understood blessing, the people who were blessed, as the people who had everything. So they would make a list of things like those who had wealth, those who had good health, those who had status within the community, those who had the favour of others and would do what they needed or wanted, and those who had respect. These are the people who are blessed. And ultimately, the ultimate blessing was to be beyond the cares and concerns and worries that everybody else is concerned about. And these people are blessed. And I have wondered whether if Jesus was delivering this sermon to us, I wonder how shocked we would be by what he says. Because the reality is that we, relative to the world, we have great wealth. We either have good health or we have access to excellent healthcare. We have status and standing. We have favour and respect. And there are so many cares, concerns and worries of life that we don't, that don't really touch us. And these are the people within our culture that are blessed. But the point of the Beatitudes is to turn these upside down. And today we reflect on this. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. And where I'm going to get to, just in case, you know, you need to have a snooze or get distracted while I'm talking, it's about being Jesus-centered. Who are the meek? Is those who are Jesus-centered
and Spirit-filled. And I'll unwrap that as we go through. Okay, question. Who gets to inherit the earth? Who gets to inherit the earth?
Now, Jesus says, blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. But who gets to inherit the earth? And what does that mean? Anyway, here's a map of the Roman Empire in 100 AD. And all of this darker shaded area, that is the extent of the Roman Empire in 100 AD. And as far as the Romans are concerned, they're the ones who own all of this. And their sons and their daughters are the ones who inherit the earth. Their sons and their daughters inherit the earth because they own it. It is theirs. That's the point. Now, jumping a few millennia, this is the British Empire in 1913. In the darker shades, that's control of the British Empire. In 1913, who gets to inherit the earth?
Well, all the sons and the daughters of the British.
Why?
Because the British own it. It's ours.
Who gets to inherit the earth? Well, it's people who have power over others. Those who inherit the earth are those who have privilege over others. Those who have control over others. Those who are assumed to have status. They are the ones who get to decide who inherits the earth. If you have power, if you have privilege, if you have control, and if you have status, then you get to inherit the earth, or at least decide who inherits the earth. I was reading, you might be familiar with the author Philip Yancey. Any of you come across Philip Yancey? I think it's in his book, The Jesus I Never Knew. And he writes in that book, and I'm probably completely misquoting him here, as my memory fades. But I think it's in that book that I was reading this week that he was writing and reflecting upon the Beatitudes, and particularly upon this beatitude: blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. At the time when the Americans decided to initiate what we know as the First Iraq War. And Philip Yancey writes how he listened to a speech by the general of the American forces. And the general of the American forces encouraged his troops by speaking about the power of their weapons, the number of arms that they had, and bombs and missiles that they had, and the strength and numbers of the armed forces. And Philip Yancey, reflecting on blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth, recognized the clash, the absolute fundamental clash of cultures. Who was about to inherit Iraq? Well, those who had the best weaponry, the best planes, the best tanks, the largest army, and the greater number of bombs. Now, we might say, well, you know, that's surely not us. But then, who gets to inherit the earth? If we're not at war, then it's those who have wealth, those who have privilege, and those who know the right people, those who have connection. They're the ones who get to inherit the earth, or decide who inherits the earth, because they're in a place where they can say that. And that's, I think that's where we live. That is the reality of where we live. And I think it's also true in our day. It's not even necessarily the strength of a particular nation anymore, but is the power of corporations who get to decide who inherits the earth. And corporations who demand resources out of the earth in order that they might have greater profits for themselves. And governments do the bidding of the corporations. So who gets to inherit the earth? Because Jesus says, blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Now we need to ask, of course, well, who are the meek? Because I don't think the meek fly around in fighter jets. And I don't think the meek own tanks. And I don't think the meek are part of the armies of the world. And I don't think the meek drop bombs. And I'm not sure that the meek are necessarily those with wealth, or those with privilege, or those with the right connections. But Jesus says, it is the meek. It is the meek who will inherit the earth. So who are the meek? Jesus speaks to the people and says this: come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle, and it's exactly the same word, it is this word meek. I am meek, or gentle, and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. Come to me, all you who are living within this culture, where those with power and influence and privilege and wealth determine your life. And it's exhausting to live within that culture. And so Jesus says, come to me. I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Learn how to walk with me, for I am meek. I am gentle. And I'm humble in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. And that lovely phrase, you'll find rest for your souls, it is that place we discover from time to time where we know deep peace, profound peace. In the midst of everything, we know rest deep within. So Jesus says of himself, I am meek. I am gentle. But then it was said again, when Jesus approached Jerusalem on the occasion that we know as the triumphal entry that we celebrate on Palm Sunday, the week before Easter, Matthew wrote about that and realized that even as he was writing, it seemed to echo with the words of the prophets. Say to daughter Zion, see your king comes to you, gentle, meek, same word, and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Again, Jesus says it of himself, I am meek, I am gentle. And then Matthew says, this is what your king looks like. He doesn't come with power and privilege and wealth and influence and the right connection, but he comes in meekness, in gentleness. Because it is about Jesus. And the meek, I would suggest, are those who are Jesus-centered. Those who are Jesus-centered. Centered. And we can ask, well, what does it mean to be Jesus centered? So I encourage people, you know, when people have said to me, I want to start reading the Bible, where do you start? I don't know about you, but the obvious place when you read a book is the beginning. But it's not always helpful to set somebody off reading from literally Genesis chapter 1. And I always say, read the Gospels. Read Matthew, Mark, Luke and John. And they say, why? Because Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, they tell the story of Jesus. They tell the story of Jesus. They give the teaching of Jesus. They They give the lifestyle and example of Jesus. Read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And then when you've read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, read it again. Read them again. And then read them again. And then slow down as you read. And reflect upon the words of encouragement and teaching. Reflect upon the lifestyle. And the hope is that as we embed ourselves in the story and the teaching and the lifestyle and the example of Jesus, we begin to imbibe Jesus. We begin to receive Jesus. And that's something of what it means to be Jesus-centered, to say, Jesus is my Lord, he's my center, he's my purpose, he's my goal, he's my destiny. It's all about Jesus. And Jesus says, come to me, learn from me, for I am meek, I am gentle. And Matthew says of him, see, this is what your king is. He is gentle and meek. So it is about being Jesus-centered. So blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Maybe we just want to change that. Blessed are the gentle. Because the Bible tends to use those two words. It's exactly the same word, but the translators, sometimes they choose the word meek to translate, and sometimes they use the word gentle. Blessed are the gentle. And if we think about those in our day who inherit the earth, those who have for thousands of years inherited the earth through power and might and so on. Jesus says, blessed are the gentle or the meek. And the Apostle Paul writes, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. And the Apostle Paul is saying, look, this is not a tick box, but this is, if you focus upon the Lord Jesus, if you embed yourself, your thinking, your lifestyle, your reflecting, you embed yourself in Jesus. You seek to learn from him, and say, I want to be Jesus-centered. In John 15, we're encouraged to really embed ourselves in Jesus and to be fed by him. And the Apostle Paul says, if you make that focus upon Jesus, if you are Jesus-centered, then the fruit you will bear, the fruit your life will bear, well, it is these different things, he says. Love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness, meekness and self-control. And so, whereas I said a moment ago, this is about being Jesus-centered, it's also about being Spirit-filled. So blessed are the gentle. Blessed are the meek, for they, in God's upside down kingdom, are the ones who will inherit. Jesus-centered, Spirit-filled. It's about character, lifestyle, and actions. Character, lifestyle, and actions. And sometimes I ask myself, and I'll finish with this, and sometimes I ask myself, would people recognize the Spirit of Jesus in me having read the Gospels? If someone read the Gospels, so read all about Jesus and really understood his Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus, would they be able to say,
I see that same spirit in me. Because that's what we all want, that our character, our lifestyle and our actions speak of the one who is our Lord and our Saviour, Jesus himself.
Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. May God's blessing rest upon us as we open our hearts and our lives, our past, our present and our future to God. Amen.